God's Bank under new management.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Allianz, providing travel insurance and assistance to over 9 million Americans through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
From 8 p.m. in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics. Pope Francis is replacing the entire board that oversees the Vatican's bank. It's the latest move in his drive to reform a shadowy bank long shaken by scandal. BBC Business correspondent Theo Leggett joins us with more. Hello, Theo.
Good morning, Mark.
So put this in context. What does this move say about how far there is to go to deal with the bank's ongoing corruption problem?
Well, this is entirely in keeping with a reform drive launched by the Vatican in the wake of the financial crisis, and which has really accelerated since the appointment of Pope Francis. A couple of years ago, the Vatican appointed a top money laundering expert, a man called René Brulhart, but he's really been struggling to make an impact. So under Pope Francis, he's been given the ammunition he needs, I think, to help him turn the Vatican bank around.
Now, its official name is the Institute for the Works of Religion, quite unusual name for a bank, and it's an unusual bank. It doesn't do the things we think of banks doing, giving out loans or creating bizarre financial products. What does the Vatican Bank actually do?
It's only open to Vatican employees, Catholic foundations, members of the clergy and the like. It's not very transparent, and that's been an advantage in the past because Pope John Paul II, for example, used to channel money to the Solidarity movement in Poland when it was part of the Soviet Union. But for years there have been these allegations that accounts are being misused as channels for illicit activity. Other banks which deal with the Vatican, as they have to do, have been feeling that they could potentially be exposed themselves to action by regulators. That's where all the pressure for change has been coming from.
BBC's Theo Leggett, thanks very much.
Thank you.
California Chrome goes for horse racing's Triple Crown this weekend at the Belmont Stakes. Great champions are worth a fortune for their breeding potential. $60 million values, not unheard of. But as Conrad Wilson reports, even if he wins, Chrome probably won't be worth that kind of money.
In the world of horse racing, winning is only half of what determines what a horse is worth. What really matters? Who's your daddy?
Pedigree. Breeders look to that as probably the most important component of the two.
Peter Bradley III is one of the top bloodstock agents in the country for thoroughbred racing. He says California Chrome is an incredible horse, but doesn't have the bloodline to command such high stud fees.
He's a souped-up Ford who's outrunning the Ferraris.
Bradley guesses that today California Chrome is worth about $15 million, thanks to his Triple Crown run.
The marketing people at all of the brands that would be interested in this could care less about lineage.
Dan Burton at San Diego State University says there's huge marketing potential for California Chrome. Already the shoe company Skechers has signed on. But what if he loses?
Well, I think you pretty much heard the end of California Chrome.
In which case that $15 million doesn't look so bad after all. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading, up around a third of a percent in markets across Europe. Asian markets closed mostly lower. Later this morning, we'll get the much-awaited jobs report here in the U.S. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P rose 0.2% to 1940. The Dow closed up 0.6% to 16,836, both new record highs.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a company owned by its policy owners and committed to putting them first. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Slacker Radio, delivering handcrafted streaming radio to the web, smartphones, and tablets with over 13 million songs and talk programs, including Marketplace. More at slacker.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to ensure all students graduate high school prepared to succeed in college and careers.
Hillary Clinton's new memoir hits store shelves Tuesday, and the rollout for this one is massive, even by big book standards. Lots of little morsels have leaked out. CBS News got a hold of the book last night. CBS, by the way, corporate sibling of the book's publisher, Simon & Schuster. Marketplace's David Gura reports on the strategy behind these publicity blitzes.
You'd think a memoir like this one could sell itself. Well, think again, says Jim Milliot. He's the editorial director at Publishers Weekly.
Well, you could say it's one of the great ironies of book publishing that the bigger the author, the bigger the publicity campaign.
This one kicked off on Mother's Day with an exclusive excerpt in Vogue, Secretary Clinton reflecting on motherhood. It was shareable, the idea being, Milliot says, that will translate into sales.
Social media is a big component of all this.
Clinton's book has its own Twitter account, managed by Simon & Schuster, and there are more excerpts on a website, along with YouTube videos.
The hardest part was writing it. The hardest part was working on it.
You want your message out.
Josh Barron managed publicity for An Inconvenient Truth. That's Al Gore's bestseller. The message machine can cost millions, and we don't know how much this one's going to cost because the publisher declined our request for an interview. But we do know the publicity team for a big book starts with what Paul Bogards calls a communications blueprint.
Television, radio, newspapers, magazines, blogs, big mouths.
That's publicist speak for someone who will talk about the book on TV. Bogards is with Knopf Doubleday, and he's drawn up blueprints for former Defense Secretary Bob Gates' memoir and for President Clinton's. Rollouts may be more intricate than ever, but something is still true. If some reporter gets a hold of a book early, that can throw all this timing, all this money, all this planning off track. Bogards faced this with Bill Clinton's book called My Life.
I mean, one of them actually had the gall to call me and say, hey, can you help me out here? I was like, actually, no, I cannot help you out.
Publicists play defense, and they also play offense. Leaks aren't all bad, and sometimes they're done strategically. Politico, for example, got its hands on a chapter from Hillary Clinton's book, and that did what every publisher wants. It ginned up interest, it got people talking, and Simon & Schuster hopes it'll lead to buying. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, the verdict is in. Beastie Boys over Bro Beverages. The rap group won $1.7 million in a copyright violation case against Monster Energy Drinks. The maker of liquid caffeine delivery systems used their music in an online video. A rarity in the music biz, the Beastie Boys don't license their songs for ads. That's even spelled out in the will of group member MCA, who died in 2012. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The Russo brothers had some spare time between directing the last Captain America and the new one. So they've got a new project in mind, commercials.
Look, at the end of the day, it's called show business, right? There is a extreme stress on the word business.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the slick new look of product placement next time on Marketplace from APM. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.